get the opportunity as we meet to continue going through where we began last week on the blessings of the Lord and how much do we desire God's blessing. Now, last week, we went through this, so if you missed last week, you can hear it online. It's already there online for you in regard to God's blessing. But God says to Abraham, who is the father of the faithful, the model that we look to, how did God begin to work with Abraham in order to bless his life? He said, you got to leave your country, your family, and your home. And he says, I want you to do this, but then what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a land, take you there, to make a great nation of you, to bless you, to make your name great, and to make you a blessing. And we finished last week by talking about the real essence of the law of love in our lives and in blessing is to desire blessing to be a blessing. We want to be blessed to bless others. If you're only looking for blessing for yourself, you're thinking too small. The whole reason for the transformation that takes place in our lives is so that we can be a blessing to someone else. Everything that we do should be thinking toward the end of, God, how can I be a blessing to other people? How can I be a blessing in their lives? So let's begin today by turning to the book of Genesis. Genesis 12. Because Abraham was promised here, as we talked about last week, that God was going to make a great nation. And he told him to leave his land, and Abraham, or Abram at the time, immediately obeyed. But here's the thing. He was 75, and he had no children. So he was walking out on faith, an old man without children. Notice verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. Now think of what hope that must have inspired here in Abram's life. Now, he was a wealthy man. It says that he was wealthy with flocks, with silver, with gold. He's a wealthy man. He has no one to leave this inheritance to. And God is telling him, I'm going to give this to your descendants. So think about this now. He's lived a long life. He's probably been yearning for a child his life. He has this beautiful bride who he loves, Sarai. She has not been able to give him any children. And now God starts speaking that you're going to have descendants. And not only that, but he's going to give his descendants a land. But time goes on. And Sarai is not pregnant. Notice in chapter 15 of Genesis in verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. So basically, he's got a servant he's going to have to leave everything to because he has no child. And Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one, a servant born in my house, is my heir. I don't have anybody. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him outside, and he said, now look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. How beautiful that is. He's old. He's gone through all this life. He doesn't have an heir. And God said, oh, it's going to come from you. The heir is going to come from you. So God did it right away. Right? No. No, he did not. Now, let's turn and look down here in verse 18. He says, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given you this land from the river of Egypt. So he's giving not only the promise of descendants, he was giving promise of enslavement of those descendants in verse 13, and that they would be inheriting a land that God wanted them to have. Now notice in chapter 16, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram,
"See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he's 85 years old. So think about this. Now, you know, when you read years go real fast in a Bible, don't they? Yeah, 10 years passed. How fast do 10 years go in real life? Right? When you're actually living them day by day? 75 years old, no children. He gets a promise from God he's going to have children. What do you think he's thinking? Maybe next month? Maybe tomorrow? You could imagine that his mind was thinking, hey, this has got to be happening. I'm getting older here, right? Sarah's feeling bad, and she's like, hey, how about I give you my maid? And how about she be the one that I give you children through? Maybe that is the way God wants to work this out. So Abram listens and he goes into her. But think about this. For 10 years, this has been a weight on him, wanting the blessing of God, having left his home, right? His family, his country, to go out because God said, I'm going to make a great nation of you. He got the promise of descendants, and here he is now 10 years dwelling in this land, and he doesn't have anything. Where's this child? So he goes through the process, and it says that he conceived, Hagar conceived, and she bore Ishmael when he was 86. And that's in chapter 16, verse 16. Now notice in chapter 17, now Abram was 99 years old when the Lord appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And that's what Abraham means. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. So what a beautiful promise that he's giving to Abraham, that he's going to be this father of many nations. Now notice here in verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, which means princess, that shall be her name. Now, notice again verse 16. And I will bless her. I will bless her. God is determined to bless her. Sarai, who is now old herself, who is past the age of childbearing, and he's saying, I'm going to bless what's dead. I'm going to take what has no life and give it life. And he said, I will bless her and also give you a son by her, and then I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Isn't that interesting? This child that he had, that's now 13, 14 years old. He said, couldn't he be the one for you? This is how it could work, God. You could just take the son I already have. And God said, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. So now he blessed Ishmael, but it was determined by God that it was through Isaac. So think of now this anticipation. Here he is, 99 years old. He's 24 years past the original promise that he got to leave and be a nation. 24 years he's waiting on the Lord. 24 years he's anticipating. He went through the process of having Ishmael, and he's seeing Ishmael grow. And he's like, oh, let him be the one. And God's like, no, there's another to come. His name is going to be Isaac, and he's going to come through Sarah. I'm going to bless her, and I'm going to bless her so that she has this child. And so here he is waiting all this time. And notice chapter 18 now in verse 10. Chapter 18 and verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah shall have a son. Now Sarah was listening in the tent which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, oh, no, you did laugh. Right? God having a little fun. He knows what's going on. But I want you to think about this time. He says, I will return at the time of life that he had made it so. Now, God had offered the promise. He was willing to bless and to make Abraham a blessing and to make a great nation of him, and that kings would come from him, and that he would be very fruitful and multiply, and in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But he's waiting for a time that he predetermined. I want to ask you, last week we talked about desiring the blessing of the Lord, seeking a blessing from God, being willing to go after God for the blessing. When you put your life into God's hands and you seek His blessing, are you willing to wait for His time to give it? When you ask something of the Lord, Jesus said, ask anything in my name and it shall be given to you. If you ask according to the will of God, anything in my name, you shall have it. So the things that you ask for, are you asking for a blessing according to His will? And are you willing to wait on Him in faith until the right time? See, it would have been a lot easier, wouldn't it, to just do it right away? He's 24 years past this time of the initial promise. He's dwelling in the land all this time. God is making him wait on purpose. The anticipation has to be growing. How's this going to happen? And God gives him the promise. He returns and gives him the promise. He comes again and he gives him the promise and he keeps encouraging. No, it's not going to be the way you think. It's going to be the way I think. I'm going to do it through Sarah. I'm going to bring a child through her. You're going to call his name Isaac. And here God is saying, and it's going to happen at the right time. Do you believe that you can place your life into the hands of God for His direction and purpose? Do you want to be outside of that? You see, what kept Abraham going was he kept believing in God no matter what God said. He kept looking to God. And even when he asked, and God said, no, I'm not doing it through Ishmael. He was okay with it. Okay, Lord. Do you have an okay, Lord, when you ask and you don't immediately receive? Can you accept that God is saying either no or not right now? Can you live with that? Because I imagine that in our world of you haven't answered my text and I sent it 5 seconds ago, right? That 24 years would seem kind of harsh. True? We want it now so bad. When we get a promise or we get a hope, we got to have it right now. And the story we see in the Scripture time after time after time is God is saying, I'm going to give it to you. But He just leaves the little time factor out of it. He wants you to walk on a promise. Now, here's the thing about what God is working. When you seek the blessing of God, it becomes an opportunity to wait on Him in faith. Will you wait on Him in faith? Not doubting. Not doubting whether it's going to happen. See, the chastening even of Sarah when she was 99, really what God's saying, I don't want you to doubt. You were laughing, weren't you? You don't even believe. You're questioning. Oh, no, Lord. She was embarrassed. I think He had that written into the Scripture for us so that we wouldn't laugh. Because you never know the time when something is going to be birthed in you. There are times that you look in your life and you see, I've got nothing. I feel dead and I need the blessing. And God is giving you hope that the blessing's coming. And you have to wait for Him to birth it. But in that time of waiting is so important. Waiting is not idleness. Waiting is seeking. Waiting is believing and pursuing the thing God has before you. And what makes Abraham so awesome, he's had all this anticipation. This anticipation just keeps building in his life for all these years that God is going to do the thing that He promised. Now look at this with me now. Let's just go ahead and jump to chapter 21. Chapter 21 and verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his own age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. God likes to be on time. He does things at particular times. I want you to think about this anticipation in the sense of God's anticipation and God's patience through all this as well. He told him He was going to do it. He wants to do it. But He's waiting to the right time. Because as God looks at the picture through the generations of life, and He's thinking that through this one, Abraham, I'm going to bless all these nations, He's thinking of a timing that goes beyond the timing of Abraham's life to make him fruitful in generations to come that Abraham was never around to see. You ever think about the beauty of that? The beauty of a promise and a hope that Abraham died in faith, believing God that he would have nations come from him, never having seen it. Think about it. Think about it in yourself when you think about what God is doing in your life. You know, one of the most curious and amazing things you have in a relationship with God is you say, God, I know You're doing things with me. I know, but I don't even know if I'll ever get to see it. But that's kind of cool. As long as you will keep doing a work that can be beneficial to bless other people down the road. Wouldn't that be awesome? To know that you have submitted yourself to God and had faith in His promise that He will work something out through your life that can be a seed like Abraham's. You just never know where it'll go. You never know what you will see. So here, Abraham, what do you think he felt like this day when Sarah bore a son? Verse 3, and Abraham called his name of his son who was born to him, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac. How do you think he felt? Anybody? In awe. Anybody else?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Anybody else?
Flabbergasted.
Jubilation. Excitement. I mean, you've been waiting now 25 years. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. 25 years he waited. He's been seeking this blessing, wanting this blessing, waiting on God for the blessing. God gives him his blessing. Now, how would you feel if you have waited 25 years for God to give you the very thing and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt this is not of human experience, this can't happen without God, her womb was dead, he's an old man, it wasn't happening except God did the miracle and you know it. And now you have this babe in your hand that you call Isaac. Can you feel what Abraham felt? Can you feel just, oh God, You're awesome. You kept Your word to me. I am so in awe of You. I have what I've wanted all this time. An heir, a descendant, someone to carry on And God comes to him in chapter 22 and verse 1, and it says, "It came to pass after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.'" He got the blessing he wants, and God tells him to take it and sacrifice it. The son whom he loves. The son for whom he waited 25 years. The son he's seeing grow up now into a young man. He tells him to take his life. To offer his son to him. I want you to put yourself in Abraham's shoes. I want you to really try to embrace this. Because it is such an important thing to understand foundationally when we come to seek the blessing of the Lord that we realize something about the blessing. That even the blessing has to be sacrificed to God. That even the thing He gives us has to be given to Him. Sometimes you can fight for blessing in life. You can try to work it out yourself. Can't get it. You wait on God. God finally blesses you. "You can't touch this one now, God. This one's mine. You gave it to me. And this one's mine." And we start to value the blessing more than the one who blesses. So God tested Abraham. And notice how Abraham responded to this instruction. Verse 3. "So Abraham rose early the next morning." Guys, is that you? Are you in bed, depressed, crying, weeping? What's up with this? Are you angry, resentful, bitter? How could you? He rises early the next morning. He saddles the donkey, took just two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place. So what he did was he took his son, he loaded up the wood, had his own son carry the wood up to the place. His son said, "Hey, where's the sacrifice, Father?" You know what Abraham says? "God will provide. God will provide." Verse 10, "Abraham stretched out his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham said, Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.' Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Blessing, I will bless you. Blessing, I will bless you." To have the blessing of God, His hand behind you, His favor in what you do, to know that God is backing you up and making it happen in a way and in a time that pleases Him. Is there any better place to be? Do you believe the Lord will provide? Do you believe the Lord will provide? For everything you need, at the right time, at the right place, that He will give it to you. You see, there's many things in life we can be seeking after. There's many things in life that we can desire, that we can yearn for. But we must ask, when we go to God to seek the blessing, are we seeking it for His glory to be a blessing, or are we seeking it to have it for ourselves? Because what's in the base of all this instruction and all the story that God lays out so beautifully for us of the timing and even giving us the years of Abraham's life and how long he was searching for this blessing and then saying, go take it and sacrifice it. He's saying, even when you have the blessings, will you give it to God in glory? Or will you take it for yourself? Friends, the scriptures say, seek ye diligently spiritual gifts. It says, seek spiritual gifts earnestly, and especially that you could prophesy. Now, if you go and God blesses you with a gift of prophecy or a gift of healing or a gift of tongues or interpretation of tongues or whatever gift you have or whatever gift that God blesses you, is it the gift that's important or is it the giver of the gift who's important? How many gifts did John the Baptist have? And yet Jesus said there was not one among men who was more righteous than he. But God does give gifts when we seek them in order that we may be a blessing, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a word of encouragement, a word of instruction. Friends, are you seeking this blessing from God? Because it's already been promised. And in fact, what God says is seek it. Seek gifts. Seek to be a blessing to others, that you may help someone else. But realize that whatever God gives you, money, fame, power, all of it needs to be sacrificed back to Him. All of it has to be given back. You know, there's an amazing story for us in Deuteronomy chapter 8, or amazing instruction. Let's look at that right now. Deuteronomy chapter 8. God said to Abraham, now I know that you fear God because you have obeyed my voice. You have done the things I've commanded. And notice what God says now to the children of Israel as He's bringing them into the promised land. He says, every commandment, this is Deuteronomy 8:1, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, beginning with Abraham. And you shall remember the Lord your God led you all these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. When He was making Abraham go all that time with a promise but not yet being inheriting it, He was testing him to know what was in his heart. That's why when Abraham's ready to take his own son's life, he stops and he says, don't! Now I know what's in you. That you would not even withhold the son whom you love from me. You are so blessed, Abraham, because you have given all. And God is saying to these Israelites, when you're entering this land, God did not take them right from Egypt into the promised land. He made them wander in the wilderness to humble them and to test their heart, to see what was in it, to see if they would receive the blessing and that it would be an honor to Him. So He says, verse 3, so He humbled you and allowed you to hunger. He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know that in your heart, that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, and flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful homes and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day, that it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. I wanted to read all the way through that because here's a people being blessed, and God is saying, beware lest you start to look at the blessing and think that the blessing of the Lord is somehow by your own strength, by your own might, by your own wisdom, by your own power, that somehow you're special, that somehow you're the guru, but somehow you are so distinct and above everyone else of and by your own self. Because what God is saying is the blessings that he gives are the blessings he gives that we may be a blessing, that his name may be glorified. You see, the thing that he was working out in Abraham was a thing that he was already going to do himself. Who waited all the years from the time that Adam and Eve took of the fruit? Who waited all the years to send his own son as a sacrifice? Who was waiting for him to be born and his name would be called Emmanuel, Yeshua, Yah who saves? Who was God waiting for? Do you see, from the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was sacrificed. And God was waiting and waiting and waiting and being patient through the history of humanity to watch all the ills and the sins and the transgressions come to pass. And his heart rending. And to bring forth the perfect Son, his only begotten Son, whom he loved. And to say, it is through this Son all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Through this child, there will be life. It was in the deadness of the world that God brought forth life. His own seed. That in his seed, you and I would have everlasting life. And as precious as Jesus is to our Father in heaven, the relationship that was from the beginning, that they were together, the Father and the Word, that the Word would empty himself and say, take me, Lord. That the Father would say of his own Son to the world, take him. And that he would give him as a gift that we would not perish but have everlasting life. Everything he's teaching of the patience, the watching, and the blessing of his Son, and saying, I will take the great blessing of the Word and make him flesh, that he would die to be a blessing to all of us. You see, in the heart of love. But do you realize, what if God said, no, 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 no. What if he said, that's not going to happen? What if God had withheld the blessing of his Son? No, he's not going to go through that. No, you won't harm him. No, get your hands off him. And he began to destroy everyone who was around Jesus. God took the greatest blessing in his life and he sacrificed it for us. His greatest blessing was sacrificed for you and me. I can't even begin to comprehend or express to you the depth of love that God has. I just can convey what he did. But how do you begin to express that? That your good son be sacrificed for the enemy. It was in his sacrifice of his greatest blessing that blessings are now abounding. That angels are rejoicing because people are repenting and becoming the children of God by faith in him. And you see what a tragedy it would be for God to be working in your life, for God to be giving you blessings, for God to be enriching you with silver and gold and in the fields and in all the ways, and for you to want to withhold that? I tell you, shame on you! If God is blessing you and you're not letting the blessing flow out. You know, in Malachi, he said, you rob from me, you steal from me. Because I bless you. He said, prove me, try me. If I will not open up heaven for you, if you will give to me a tithe of what I give. Do you realize God doesn't need your money? He's trying to teach you to let it flow out. People say, well, I'm going to tithe of my time. Or I'm going to tithe of this or that. You say, well, David, you just want money? Don't give me the money. But I'm saying you better give it to God somewhere. I don't take money from this church. I hope you all know that. I've not taken a penny. In fact, I think I've given a lot more pennies than I've ever seen come the other way. Because there's nothing coming back. I don't want it. The only reason God blesses when you're walking in his hand is so you can be the blessing. And when you stop and say, no, God gave me this money and I'm going to put my arms around it and I'm going to hold it. I say, shame on you. You're being foolish. God is the provider. God is the giver. If God blessed you with power and influence and talent and time, shame on you if you use it for yourself. Because the time and the talent and the resources are to be of glory and service to him. All of our lives is to be proclaiming the great name of Almighty God. And when these people go into land, God is saying, I know what you're going to do, so I'm warning you now. I'm going to give you a bunch of stuff. You're going to be blessed in your life, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, look at all this I got. And you're going to take your ease and your comfort, and you're going to forget about me. Do you realize the United States was founded on a nation by people that came here that said, we want to found these societies for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Do you know when they first had the Constitution of the states, as they were coming together, they said, hey, you know what? We all kind of agree on one thing here. We've all come here for the furtherment of the kingdom of God. So we should band together in a constitution of states because we have the same premise in life. And when you look at how the nation has been blessed and been enriched, the gold has multiplied, the silver has multiplied, all the things have multiplied. And as we've grown fat, and we've grown full of ourselves, and we've built beautiful homes, and we live and dwell at ease, do we remember who gave it to us? All of it. It's all for his glory. Or we're doomed to perish. He said, I'll do it just like I did to every other nation. Guys, this is the tragedy that we are facing in our own land and society right now. The blessing has become a curse. Notice with me in Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. God is speaking to children of Israel who've come back, who've been restored, and they're going through the practices of religion. And, you know, they're having their worship and they're sacrificing animals, but the animals are lame and they're blind. And they're not worthy sacrifices to be offered. And they're going through the motions of religion, but they don't have God in what they're doing. And he brings them back, and notice what he says here in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "And now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I've already cursed them, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your face, the refuse of the solemn feast. The one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity." Our life, the blessing of life that we have, is not just to say, "I'm saved." The salvation we have has to be shared. The blessing of life has to be shared. And what happens in our lives is we get so attached to the blessing that we forget that the whole reason the blessing is given is to give glory to God. To use of the blessings to give glory to God. Friends, have you set your heart that this is the way you live, with a love for God to give the blessings, to seek them, to give them to someone else? Do you want to be blessed? And if you do, why? Why do you want God's blessing? What do you want to do with God's blessing? Are you talking to Him about the plans and the dreams that you have in your heart and seeing if they will be something He can take and bless? Are you asking Him, "What would you have me do, Lord?" Will you listen for the plan that God has? To hear, "What does He want me to do?" Are you asking that? Because friends, if we go through the motions of coming to church and we sing the songs and we listen to the sermons and we have some good conversation, but we're not taking the blessing out, if we're not sharing it, if we're not bringing the light of God to someone who's lost, then what are we doing here? You see, when Malachi spoke, he said, "You guys are just playing a game. You're playing a religious game with me, and you don't realize it's all corrupt. I don't want church without God. What good is being here without His presence? What good is showing up if God is not here working in what we're doing and we're seeking Him?" That's why last week I talked about prayer, because prayer is where it's at. Because it's where, before God, saying, "What do you want to do? Bless it. And what you don't want to have happen, don't bless it. But whatever it is, God, take our lives and let them be consecrated to you so that you can use us to be the people you made us to be at the time you made us to be." I see God is doing amazing things. I see God is working in your lives, in people's lives. I see that God wants to move people. You know, the society is falling down. They're rejecting God. The church is sliding after it. And God is throwing out a lifeline to the church, and He's saying, "Grab on! And let's get you back up to where you need to be, walking in the righteousness of the Lord." You see, because what made the difference in Abraham's life, what caused the blessing to come forth, was when God told him to do something, he obeyed the voice of the Lord. It made all the difference. A simple decision to say, I will follow you, Lord. Where you lead me, where you guide me, I give my life into your hands. And when God told him to take your son, the son you've waited for 25 years, that you see growing up before you, who you love dearly, and sacrifice him, he got up early the next morning. And Hebrews said, because he had already concluded that God was able to raise him from the dead anyway. And he knew God. And he knew God wouldn't ask him to do something if it wasn't for his own good. And God determined to do good in the end. And God says in Deuteronomy 8, I determined to do you good in the end. And God asks us to repent because he wants to do us good in the end. The blessings of the Lord are there to be had to those who seek to obey his ways. Not everybody enjoys the blessing of God. You can't expect to enjoy the blessing of God unless you're willing to do the things that bring forth the blessing. It's like wanting to have tomatoes in your garden and never planting the plant that'll grow them. It's not going to happen. And yet so often we want to have the blessing of God without doing the things that God has already told us to do to inherit the blessing. So what are those things? What does God want us to do? God willing, we'll talk about it next week. All right? Till next week.